This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Black Hole Block Party. Now three. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boston to St. Pete, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. If I could describe this any way succinctly, it would be welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. And ours as well. We have taken over this time slot from Tiki and Tierney. Originally here on the CBS Sports Radio airwaves, we were overnights. Then we switched over to evening 6 until 10 Eastern time, where we were the last 2.5 years. Now in this time slot, and we feel like we're a good fit here. We feel like you'll enjoy this show. Why? Well, we've got good competition, no doubt about it. But when you look at some of the heavyweights in this time slot nationally, you're talking about a guy like maybe Dan Le Batard, who openly despises sports. So I feel like we can kind of fill that void since we're a sports show. And then you have a guy like Dan Patrick, who actually, to me, can't really give heavy opinions, strays away from them because of his ties with the NFL and with NBC. So I feel like we actually fill those voids. We actually like sports, which is good, I think, for a sports show. Not openly abhor them. And we're just going to be throwing grenades, I mean, on a daily basis. So we're also broadcasting on the web. You can watch the webcast. I can't believe they actually gave us cameras, watchda.com. So you'll watch the webcast on a daily basis, and you might hear a little slight echo. If you see the webcast, watch the webcast, you'll see these kind of cement blocks behind me. They're revamping this for the Tiki and Tierney telecast on the CBS Sports Network. And so it feels like we're in a padded room, which is absolutely perfect for the mentality of this show. It kind of feels like an asylum, which is, again, if there is any way a studio could kind of encapsulate the show, I think an asylum would be perfect. Coming up this hour, Chris Mannix, senior writer from The Vertical and Yahoo Sports on the NBA playoffs. That comes your way in 35 minutes from now. Also next hour, Brad Kaya, Miami Hurricanes quarterback. Where will he go? He's not in that top block with some of the first rounders, but right after that, could that mean you see Kaya second round, third round? We'll talk to him. We know there's a guy that came out of the fourth round last year that ended up becoming a star, and that was Dak Prescott. Always want to get you guys involved on the phone, so hit me up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. If you're following us from the evenings or the overnights to this time slot, I can assure you much of this will stay the same, basically as much as they'll let us get away with. So, all right, so let's start with the NBA playoffs. Last night, as you heard Bogus mention, the updates, Bulls, Celtics, the one seed, of course, playing Isaiah Thomas, whose sister was tragically killed over the weekend in a car accident. They're the one seed taking on the 8 seed, and the 8 seed gets a game one victory. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Here's Grant, drops it to Butler, looks at the shot clock, 3 seconds go. Butler dribble, drive to the cup, layup, good.
That'll do it, folks. Yep. Jimmy Butler.
And with the Bulls in front, 103-94, 45 seconds to go, regulation.
We were so locked in all week. We knew their stuff just like they knew ours, but we executed extremely well. We haven't done that all season, but this is the right time to do it. Everybody stepped up and did what was asked of them, and I think that's all you could do, especially on the road.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Chuck Swirsky, Bulls Radio on the call. Jimmy Butler following the victory. You know, for a 1-8 matchup, this is not your normal 1-8. And we talked about this on my show last week, was that Vegas's odds at the Celtics losing this series actually pretty good. I mean, comparatively to the Warriors and the Blazers, what Vegas was saying was, watch out for an upset here in this series, because the Bulls weren't your normal 8 seed. The Bulls obviously have star power, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo. Also, the Celtics, not your normal 1 seed, in some ways backed into the 1 seed because of the collapse by the Cavaliers down the stretch. But also, there is an X's and O's standpoint here that's a bad fit for the Celtics. The Bulls rebound, the Celtics do not. And that's what happened in last night's game. The Bulls rebounded, the Celtics did not. And the Celtics have been one of the poorer rebounders all season long, rebounding teams. And the Bulls want to play physical, want to get in your grill. Bobby Portis was fantastic last night and did exactly that. So I think the question becomes, was that an aberration or is that going to be the series? I think there's a little bit of both. The Celtics lost that game because they didn't match the physicality down low and didn't have an answer for Jimmy Butler. Those are two things that the Celtics might not be able to correct because they just don't have the big bodies down low, and defensively they can be very, very bad. I think, though, that the flip side is the Celtics missed a lot of shots that they normally make, especially on the outside. From the three-point arc, there were some shots that if that goes down, it's a totally different game. It's a one-possession game with a couple seconds to play. And on top of it, did the Bulls not try to give that thing away in the final minutes? I mean, they had this kind of insurmountable lead. Then it's the offensive foul on Jimmy Butler. Then it's the turnover out of bounds. Then there was the offensive rebound by the Celtics. And they just simply could not drop down the three-pointer. A couple of threes did not go. If it goes down, I mean, that last night, I'm thinking, my God, this is the Super Bowl. This is a Boston team capitalizing on a squad that it can't possibly lose the game and nearly did. But this is a tough matchup for the Celtics because, as I said, the styles make a fight and the style's not good. You have an 8 seed that's not just, quote, happy to be there. Wade and Rondo and even Butler have been to the playoffs before. Wade and Rondo have won championships. And the Celtics, in a lot of ways, are a new team in this spot. So in some ways, the DNA of the two teams of familiarity, playoff experience, expectations, you kind of have to flip them in this 1-8. So it makes this a very, very interesting matchup. And I think this is, at minimum, now a 6-game series. At minimum, I think the Bulls will get 2 games now. And it could go 7, and the Bulls could pull this off. I thought originally going into this thing that the Celtics wouldn't have much problems because I thought that the home court advantage would be so dominant and that Isaiah Thomas's ability was going to push them over the edge. Might still happen. But last night, Isaiah gets 33 points in an incredibly emotional night, and it's not enough. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Meantime, elsewhere in the Eastern Conference, the only other real upset of the weekend as we open up the NBA playoffs, because in the 4-5 matchup, you can't really say that the Jazz knocking off the Clippers in Game 1 was a huge upset, was the 6-seeded Milwaukee Bucks taking out the 3-seed Toronto Raptors. Fear the deer. Deer 1, dinosaur 0. And how incredible is the Greek Freak? How dominant is this guy, even this young in his career? I'll tell you what. This is a player that you are going to see year after year after year in the postseason. They have built a really good young team. They have built a squad that I think is going to just continue to get better. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is just a matchup nightmare for everybody. And that includes a Raptors team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I mean, that Raptors team has bigs in P.J. Tucker, in Serge Ibaka. They have guys that should be able to, you know, kind of man them up. But the problem is with Giannis, there is no matchup that works. He's bigger than any guard around the perimeter. He's faster and more athletic than any big man underneath the basket. And he did everything. And when you saw him trucking to the basket in this game, you're saying, who's going to stop this? And this is a Raptors team, again, that went to the Eastern Finals last year. And there is simply no answer for a guy that big, that fast, that talented, that polished right now.
Giannis, left side with 7 to shoot. Giannis peeks at the shot clock. Back to the basket. Bumps off P.J. Tucker. Fading jumper. Why not? Giannis hits it. Timeout. Bucks have a 17-point lead and 26 for Giannis.
Ted Davis, Bucks Radio Network. Obviously, we got a lot of basketball to play here, but the Bucks going to Toronto and getting the first win of the game of the series and getting game one, and Antetokounmpo proving that there's just kind of no matchup that he can't exploit, I think sends a message to the rest of the Eastern Conference. We're not there yet. We're going to get there. And at some point, LeBron's Eastern Conference dynasty has to end. At some point, somebody else has to get to the NBA Finals. It's not going to be the Bucks this year. But if you're talking about a team that is well established for 3 years from now, from when LeBron is not LeBron anymore and the Cavs aren't the Cavs anymore, the Bucks are positioned to do that. Again, I'm not going to freak out because of one game of one series, but I was telling you this last week. I was telling you this all season long. People that haven't watched the Greek Freak enough, obviously, because you're just not tuning into a lot of Bucks games during the regular season. He is spectacular to watch. Spectacular. I mean, it's just, watching him is a lot like watching Magic Johnson play point guard in 1981. You're going, this just doesn't make sense. I'm not saying Giannis is going to be Magic Johnson. I'm not saying that they're going to end up becoming a dynasty. What I am saying is, young team, Jabari Parker, Chris Middleton, Giannis, all built together, all coming up together. And when you have somebody as much of a difference maker as Antetokounmpo, you're just like, yeah, that could be nasty. That could be nasty for a long time for a lot of people. You can hit us up on anything, NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, NFL draft, MLB, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. And you can watch us on the webcast. Brand new today, we take over the stream from Tiki and Tierney, which we love, at watchda.com. When we return, we'll jump into your phone calls and the Warriors' depth shines, which begs the question, can they go faux? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
New time slot, same great taste.
I'm worried that the sunlight will change how we perform during these interviews.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on to the show when we'll answer your question. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back every 150 points you earn. It's fast. It's easy. It's free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Welcome inside the new time slot of the DA shows. We roll 9 to noon Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. And watch the live stream. WatchDA.com. Yesterday, we saw the Golden State Warriors take a 1-0 series lead, and maybe not that much of a surprise because the Warriors are obviously the best team in basketball right now. They're taking on the 8 seed in the Portland Trailblazers. I thought two things, though, were slightly surprising. Number one, just how ridiculous Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum were. They scored 75 points. 75. The two of them in the first half had something like 89% of the offense, 89% of the points scored for the Blazers. Both of them were fantastic. And the only way that Portland gets a couple of games in this series, makes it a series, even gets a game, is if A, that happens, and then B, the next part doesn't happen, which is Kevin Durant not being that next level finisher and scorer for the Warriors, which he was yesterday, and Draymond Green not being the ultimate eraser.
107-99. Here's Lillard. He'll drive down the lane. Goes up. Blocked by Draymond. He knocked it away again. What a block. Here comes Curry in transition. Curry hands off to KD. Comes hard left side. Dribbles in to the rim. He'll score. Timeout, Portland.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio. Draymond was great. Draymond was beyond great. Draymond was everything you could hope for in a defensive stopper, an intimidator, and a guy that not only defensively was great in blocks and rim protection, but also could create offense on the back end. You know, what you just heard there, blocks and his rebounds and his outlet passes led to fast break points or points back down the floor. You know, the Warriors are so good, and the fact that they added Kevin Durant to the offseason suggests that there's not really going to be any comparison for them in the postseason if they play their best basketball. I still think, though, that this is so far from over. I think people have underrated the Spurs all season long. I think also that if Houston, like what we saw last night, does those types of things, the Houston Rockets can be a very difficult matchup for them. And in the Eastern, coming out of the East, look, the Cavs did it to them once. The Cavs 2 years ago LeBron dragged a carcass of a franchise with none of his stars to a six-game NBA Finals and had a 2-1 series lead in that with Matthew Dellavedova as his second-best player. So I'm not giving them the crown. What I am saying is when the Warriors play their best basketball, like when Durant is that good and when Draymond is that good, it makes you wonder if they can achieve what has never been achieved, which is the perfect postseason. The closest we've ever come was the 83 Sixers with Moses Malone, who coined the phrase, we're going to go faux, 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 sweep them all. But instead it went faux, five, faux. They lost one game and are out to a championship. And then the 0-1 Lakers with Shaq and Kobe that went 15-1. They only lost one game the entire playoffs, the entire postseason. First round, though, remember, was best of five, not best of seven like it is now. Look, I think the Blazers will get a game. Maybe I'm just hopeful that they'll get a game so that it's not a complete destruction, because the Blazers, I feel like, deserve a little better than that. Lillard and McCollum are so fun to watch, and it stinks when it's just, an absolute whitewash right from the get-go. But could you imagine if the Warriors go through the Blazers, the Clippers, the Spurs, and the Cavs and don't lose a game? They might not have won 73 games this year, but if they go faux, 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 60-0, they would have to be considered one of the greatest teams of all time, and they would have a case for the greatest team of all time. They won 67 games and didn't lose a playoff game. 855-212-4CBS. Tweets coming in.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Travis tweets, DA, pretty stoked about the morning show, partly because I'm looking for Mraz to break down breakfast foods. Waffles or pancakes? Mraz, where do you weigh in on waffles, pancakes?
If they are plain, it's always waffles for texture, but the moment you add blueberries or chocolate chips, pancakes then take over. So plain waffles,
okay.
Any other topping involved, pancakes.
Is there a pancake that you won't eat, any type of pancake?
Yeah, I mean like pralines or pecans. Like keep nuts out of my breakfast food.
How about fruits? I know you're not a big fruit guy, fruit and vegetable guy.
Any kind of like I like fruit stuffing in Pop-Tarts, but fruit glaze like a toaster strudel. Maybe some blueberries. Other than that, like bananas, no way. Take a hike.
No bananas.
No.
Strawberries, okay.
Possibly, but they really got to be like crushed up.
Okay, blueberries?
Blueberries, okay, because they're small and they get mushy. I don't want to like bite into a fruit. Otherwise, why are you having breakfast to begin with?
Why even bother at this
why
point?
Even bother? Like having a fruit platter at a breakfast buffet.
By the way, if you're watching on the web stream at watchda.com and you hear Mraz's voice from heaven come on in, It's only because now with the early workings of the interior of the set design, we don't have an actual camera set up to go in there.
That's better for everybody.
But this is not a permanent status because I'm excited for the world to see Mraz's daily outfits. I mean, his incredible Sunday best that includes a wide array of Rangers jerseys, of Giants jerseys, T-shirt jerseys that are well too small. Almost all of them bought off the discount rack from players that no longer play for the team. So fear not. That is coming once we kind of get our feet under us and the technicians can work on everything. Bruce is next up. He's in D.C. listening on 1580 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Bruce.
All right, D.A., we got to do it real big now, man. We got to put a little extra hot sauce on it in the new time slot.
I like it.
But I think we're going to have to get you at 9 or 12, and then I think we're going to have to bring you back on at 6 and go. We need you both at both slots.
Yeah, I think we'll just create the own D.A. show network, and it'll just be a 24-hour cycle at some point.
Yeah. Hey, D.A., by the way, before I get to Giannis, I think the Miami Heat and the Portland Trail Blazers would be a great series, man. If we could just put them up in where they play in Rutgers Park or wherever at the big gym somewhere and let them go, I think that'd be a nice series, the Heat in Portland.
Heat probably deserved a better fate not making the playoffs because they really played their guts out down the stretch, but there's such a bad early season for them.
I know it. And I was thinking about Giannis too, D.A. I thought that was going to be that type of player when he came out of college down there with the Running Rebels, boy, with Greg Anthony and them. I thought Stacey Augman was going to be. I thought that he was going to be. But this is the new modern Stacey Augman type. And so I just wanted to, treat you through a little bit of that, D.A. And
all right.
I'm out here still making deliveries, man. I'm glad I got to get buzzed in with you.
You got it, buddy. Appreciate you. Love you. Bruce in D.C. has been a long-time loyal D-Alien here on the show, so appreciate him chiming in. Phones are always open at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I was just talking to somebody else about Larry Johnson's career and about how when he came out of UNLV, it felt like he was also that matchup that nobody in the NBA was going to be able to stop because he was this incredible combination of size and of power and of speed and just had an array of everything, could jump shoot, could be on the blocks, had a low post game. And he started out that way. Had he stayed healthy and his back not been shot, I feel like Larry Johnson is absolutely a Hall of Famer. But he never had the career that he was supposed to because the back just gave out on him. And he ended up, toward the end of his career, just being a jump shooter. And when you watched him in college, I remember watching, Tark's Rebels and just going like, whoa. Not only this team, amazing to watch, and I love kind of the renegade spirit, but also LJ thinking that guy is going to change the NBA. And just the power down the lane and the ferocity with which he played, but never came to fruition, obviously, because by the time he gets 5 years into his career, he's got to basically transfer into a jump shooter. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, Chris Mannix, senior writer on the NBA and the Vertical. We'll talk to him about what we saw in the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs. Can the Bulls pull this thing off after getting game one? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Really appreciate what you do for us. I genuinely would love to hang out with you. That's how you make me feel. I'm sure that's how you make a lot of the D-Aliens feel as well.
D-A on CBS Sports Radio.
Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything that you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team. The Beard, James Harden.
Harden on Gibson now on the switch. Just 1 second on the shot clock. Throws up a three and hits it just as the shot clock expires to get the scoring started for the Rockets here in the third quarter. First made three for James, and the Rockets up a half, make it 8 points here at 62-54. This is their biggest lead.
Craig Ackerman, Rockets Radio. Harden, 37 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. The 118-87 game one victory last night over the Thunder. Rockets just far too much at the end. And how about Patrick Beverley's game last night as well? 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. To discuss opening weekend, the first games of the NBA playoffs, is our friend Chris Mannix, senior writer, Yahoo Sports and The Vertical, joining us here on the show. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll start with that game last night. Everybody wanted to make this about James Harden versus Russell Westbrook. But geez, James Harden has way better team around him, way better parts than Russell Westbrook. Is it far too simplified to boil this down to Harden v. Westbrook in this series?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not a one-on-one battle for the exact reason that you articulated. I mean, Russell Westbrook for the entire season has been the Oklahoma City offense. I mean, when he's off the floor, the plus-minus goes off a cliff. You know, you can say it's comparable in some ways that with Harden there, but Harden has, you know, a good team around him. Patrick Beverley is a very good player. I mean, Ryan Anderson didn't play well last night shooting the ball, but he's an excellent player. Eric Gordon is a sixth man of the year candidate. Same thing with Lou Williams. I mean, Russell Westbrook doesn't have that cast of characters around him. And it's been a Herculean effort by Westbrook to get this team this far, but he's going up a team that has a comparable player and a much better supporting cast around him.
In that game last night also, the Rockets did not shoot the three very efficiently. If Houston not only adds to their arsenal of weapons, shooting the three more efficiently than they did last night, how dangerous do you think they can be in the Western Conference?
They're dangerous, but their three-point shooting isn't necessarily the issue for me. It's got to be their defense and how they step up. Now, the defense last night was pretty good, you know, holding Oklahoma City. I think it was under 40% from the floor, right around 30% from three. If they play that type of defense throughout, you know, they're a threat to win the whole thing, not just the Western Conference. But they just haven't been that reliable. And the history of Mike D'Antoni teams is that they just don't defend at a particularly high level. And this team really is no different. I mean, Clint Capella to me is the big wild card with this group. I mean, he's the one guy that can, you know, clog up the paint, block some shots, be a defensive presence in the middle. If they can get that type of defense all throughout the postseason, sure. I mean, I'm a believer in the Rockets. I'm just not sure I believe that they can do that.
On paper, a 1-versus-8 matchup, we always assume that the one is going to run away with things, but Vegas told us that this Celtics and Bulls series isn't the normal 1-8. In fact, betting on the Celtics to pull the upset, you weren't really going to win even that much money. So we know that there's not quite the same traditional disparity between the Celtics and Bulls. On a scale of 1 to 10, with that being said, how surprised were you that the Bulls were able to get game one?
Not all that surprised, just because of the circumstances. I mean, Isaiah Thomas playing 24 hours after the death of his sister. He played well, but there were times last night that he looked completely out of sorts out there on the floor. And the rebounding was going to be an issue for Boston coming into the series, and we saw just how glaring an issue it's going to be with how Robin Lopez played, with how the Bulls were able to basically double up the Celtics on the glass. Isaiah and how he is mentally is a major issue for this team moving forward, but it's matched by the fact that I'm not sure Boston has the horses to keep Chicago off the glass. I mean, it's going to be a real test of Brad Stevens' coaching to come up with some kind of scheme to make this work. Or if it's not going to be a scheme, he might have to go away at times from an Al Horford who played about 40 minutes last night. He may have to force feed Tyler Zeller some more minutes. He may have to put bigger bodies in there just to keep the Bulls off the glass, because Lopez was, you know, Jimmy Butler was the star, but Lopez to me was the difference maker last night for Chicago.
Chris Mannix, Yahoo Sports senior writer, The Vertical, joins us after the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs. Some Celtics fans are upset because the Celtics didn't make a move at the trade deadline to add a rebounder, knowing this was a glaring weakness of theirs. But was it actually the right move not to trade away any assets because the Celtics, it's kind of all gravy this year for them?
Yeah, I mean, look, you say, boy, we should have added a rebounder. Well, the next sentence out of people's mouth should be who that rebounder was, like who was the guy that was out there. Now, the one player I think Boston is kicking itself a little bit over not getting is Nerlens Noel. I mean, he was someone Boston targeted early in training camp, and they made a lot of aggressive offers to Philadelphia to extract Noel from there. ultimately they were pretty upset at the low price it actually Philadelphia actually took Justin Anderson and basically 2 second-round picks for Noel. And that frustrated, I think, people in that Boston front office. And I think they would have liked to have seen what they could have been if they had Noel on that front line alongside Al Horford instead of, you know, say, Amir Johnson in that front court. But outside of that, there really wasn't a guy like that available. Not for the price of keeping your draft picks and maintaining, you know, some of your flexibility in the future.
On Saturday, the Cavaliers take out the Pacers and survive 109-108 in game one. Did Paul George make the right basketball decision in your mind, passing up the final shot?
Yeah, I mean, look, he had to pass the ball. I mean, he's got two defenders, and I think one of them was LeBron running at him with 10 seconds left. My issue in that game was, why was there not a play called that would address this problem? I mean, on the previous play, before the Cavs fouled, they did the exact same thing. They sent a double team at Paul George. He had to give it up, and I think in some ways the Pacers got lucky because the Cavs did foul. Richard Jefferson did foul in that situation. Why then doesn't Nate McMillan have a play in his pocket that addresses what's going to happen next? It just seemed like the Pacers, after being caught with their pants down on that first play, were caught again with their pants down inexplicably on that second play. And that's something that I think is a coaching issue. Paul George isn't supposed to shoot 35-footers over double teams, but he should have plays in place that enable him to get the ball back.
You know, the Cavaliers have to exert a lot of energy to even win a game one against a 7 seed. Do you think it's going to be this tough? They're going to have to do this much work to make it through the Eastern Conference playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard for them. And look, their defense and the flaws in that defense are real. This is the worst defensive team the Cavs have had in any of the last 3 years. And you've seen how that's kind of manifested itself over the last month of the regular season and again against Indiana. I mean, Indiana, they did the Cavs a lot of favors. I mean, they ran a lot of isolation for George. They ran a lot of isolation for Lance Stephenson. It seemed like every time the Pacers made 2 or 3 passes, they wound up with an easy shot. And that's because the Cavs' defense was so bad at rotating and chasing down shooters. This is against Indiana, a team that is not considered a threat to win the conference. What happens in the next round if it's Toronto or, I guess, Milwaukee because they've got a lead? What happens in the conference finals? I mean, this is not a team that can just dial it up to a 10 and become an elite defensive team. They can do that offensively because of the skill they have on that side of the floor. But defensively, they've probably only got 2-plus defenders out there at all times in Iman Shumpert and LeBron James. Everybody else is average at best. And just, getting to the playoffs, there's no switch you can flip to make them that much better.
So do you think that the Cavaliers are done in because maybe part of their mentality is, oh, don't worry, we've got LeBron, or don't worry, we've done it the last 2 years?
Yeah, I don't know if they have that attitude because, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love have a lot of faith in themselves and the team has a lot of faith in their ability to make shots. And you've seen, and you will see, Kyrie Irving win games for this team in the postseason. I just think that maybe they don't believe or didn't believe that the defense was going to be this big of an issue. Maybe they didn't believe that teams would be able to walk all over them in the playoffs, that they would just coast through the regular season, and when they got to the playoffs, everything would resolve itself. If they did believe that, it was a mistake because they are going to have a lot of problems with a lot of teams, especially the more experienced teams like a Toronto or like a Boston if they get that far in the deeper rounds.
Chris Mannix from The Vertical and Yahoo Sports joining us to break down the NBA playoffs. The Raptors and Bucks, this is a fascinating series because the Bucks might be the 6th seed, the Bucks might be young, but the Bucks have the Greek Freak and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he was amazing as expected in game one. Seemed like the Raptors had no matchup for him. So how do you guard, how do you stop a guy that's that big, that fast, that athletic?
You force him to become a jump shooter, and he's become a much better jump shooter over the course of the season. But that's really the only thing. If you start pressing him, he's got the skill to take anyone off the dribble, whether it's big or small. You put a small guy on him, he'll post him up. I mean, this guy, he's unbelievable. He is so ridiculously talented. I mean, within 2 or 3 years, he is going to be a bona fide MVP candidate and maybe even an MVP, depending on where the Bucks are at that stage of his career. I mean, you've got to make him a shooter. You've got to make basically everybody outside of Chris Middleton a shooter out there, on the floor to have any chance of defending them offensively. But look, to me, the Raptors' problems are their own. I mean, Kyle Lowry was great in those last four games of the regular season. Didn't look like he skipped a beat. He comes out in game one and lays yet another game one egg, which he's kind of become known for over the last couple of years. Now, the upshot for Toronto is that they have done this, and they have rallied to win series where they've lost game one before. But this Bucks team, you know, I would argue they're more dangerous than any of the teams that Toronto has faced in the first round in years past, simply because of the versatility and the star power of Giannis.
So on that point, at some point in the future, LeBron's no longer LeBron, and the Cavaliers aren't waltzing to the NBA Finals every year. If we were to buy stock on the next team to be an Eastern Conference power after LeBron and the Cavaliers fade 2, 3, 4 years from now, is it the Bucks?
No, I mean, I still think it's Boston. I mean, the Bucks have a chance to be great, but the Jabari Parker injury, that really sets them back. I mean, he's probably going to miss most, if not all, of next season. And after that, I mean, what does the guy look like after tearing the ACL in his knee twice? You know, you'd like to be optimistic there, but you have to be real, too, with that type of injury. And Boston, you know, look, they're a 53-win team this year, but, I mean, they are not close to where they're going to be. I mean, they have so many options to improve that team in the future. Jaylen Brown is going to be a star in this league. He has got all the goods to be one. And plus, I mean, if they get the first overall pick, whether it's drafting Markelle Fultz or Lonzo Ball and keeping him or trading him for Jimmy Butler or Paul George or somebody like that, you have to believe that this Celtic team has the potential to be a 60-65 win team in the very near future.
Yeah, the way that the Celtics are set up right now almost feels like where the Cubs were going into last season, right? They have all of these assets, all of this talent. You're just kind of waiting for the inevitable, and that's what it feels like for the Celtics right now, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, they have to make a call at some point on what to do with their roster. I mean, people in Boston would like them to have a 25-man roster and keep everybody. You just can't do that. I mean, at some point, the Piper comes a call and you got to pay Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, and Marcus Smart, and you're simply not going to pay these guys, you know, $250 million over the lifetime of their deals. It's just not going to happen. So they've got some tough decisions to make. Do they trade that top three pick that they'll probably have? Do they keep it and add that player to the mix? How aggressive do they get going after Butler and Paul George? How deep into their assets do they go? You figure the Nets are going to be bad again next year. You trade that pick. I mean, this is one of those times where Danny Ainge is either going to look like a genius 3 years from now, or he might have some regrets 3 years from now.
1 minute to go, so let me just wrap up with asking you the Carmelo Anthony question. Do you think that he's moved this offseason?
I don't think he's moved. I think it's possible he's released, because Phil Jackson, who is not exactly reading from How to Be a GM 101, I mean, puts it out there that Carmelo's done here and it's time to move on. Well, you know, what do you expect a team to give up if they know that? And they also know that Carmelo has a no-trade clause, so he's going to veto any offer from the Memphis Grizzlies or the Orlando Magic or somebody else. I mean, there's really no leverage there for the Knicks, and there really isn't a big market for Carmelo anyway. Bottom line, I think that they do this dance for a couple of months, and I think sometime before the start of next season, they release Carmelo and stretch the rest of his contract.
If you are an NBA fan following the NBA playoffs, you've got to follow Chris Mannix on Twitter. He's the best at Chris Mannix YS. You read him at The Vertical for Yahoo Sports and listen to his podcast as well from The Vertical. He had Brooke Lopez on this week, which was fascinating. Check it out there. Yahoo Sports, The Vertical's podcast as well. Chris, it's always great to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much, man.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Chris Mannix joining us here on the DA Show. New time slot, same great taste. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. This is fun because we also have the webcast going on right now, so we have the cameras trained here in the studio, but the actual set behind me is still unfinished. So, Mraz, I don't know what we're going to do here to kind of brighten things up because it kind of feels like I'm doing this out of a 1950s atomic bunker.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hostage video situation going on. It just looks like gray cinder blocks behind you.
Dad, I'm okay.
Yeah,
they're treating me great here at CBS Sports.
Or like a high school radio station look behind you with like the cinder blocks in the classroom.
I don't know.
A weird spotlight on you.
Yeah, I don't know what we need to do here. But it does not look like I'm in a comfortable, fun atmosphere, which I am.
Which you are. We'll spruce it up.
Yeah, we'll have to do something. Maybe some...
It's the first day of class, as we said. We'll tinker with things.
It definitely feels like the first day of school today. Like, we're seeing the people that are in here at this time slot, and we're kind of exchanging our class schedules. Oh, we got him in the first period. Okay, that's good. Oh, who do we got in the eighth period? Who's in our lunch this year? That's what we're trying to figure out.
Or in my case, three lunches.
Yeah. People, this is an underrated factoid about Mraz. He actually did, senior year, attend three lunches. I don't know how you set up your schedule that way, but that's a brilliant move.
Because I'm a hero.
855.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, even the officials in the NFL are sick of the excessive celebrations. We'll get to it. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.